Great Zeus, below on Earth, it is now the eve of the longest day.
Very well. Release the Kraken.
Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we watch Clash of the Titans.
1981.
Right. Not a lot of 80s for this podcast.
No.
Very few. You mentioned this on the last episode, but I also watched this movie all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah, I remember being home. I might have been sick at the time. I had saved a bunch of money to buy this wooden sword at Cost Plus, and I was watching this movie because it was on cable or something, and or I had it on video, or and I built with a sleeping bag a Medusa shape, like with like a pillow head, and I put like I had like two or three rubber snakes on top of its head.
Oh my god!
And then I would chop its head off.
That's amazing. I was watching it when I was watching this. I was like, oh.
I would act like I'm hiding behind a post and then I chop its head off.
All of this stuff scared me when I was a kid, but I loved this movie.
Yeah.
In 81, I was four and I probably watched it on cable, so I was probably five or six. But there were so many things. I haven't watched it in so long. There were so many things that as soon as they happened, like hit this crazy nerve where it's like, oh man, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't want to talk about Medusa yet. I want to wait till we get to her. Yeah. But
everything. One thing I don't remember was the boobs and butts.
It's because you were too young.
I guess so. I guess it didn't matter.
I don't remember the later boob. I remember the boob at the beginning.
Okay. I must not have. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, this is old PG too. This is I was like, wow. Used to get more out of PG back then.
I didn't take any notes for this.
Okay.
I just watched it today and I still couldn't tell you what the story is. I can kind of follow it. But I get the basic broad strokes. But
yeah, the story.
Like, I understand the gods control what happens down here.
The gods have these people action figures, and they just kind of have this little play set, and they always, like, take them, and they kind of, like, mess with them and futz around with them and play with the humans. And meanwhile, it's telling us the story of Perseus.
Right.
Is the basic premise, I guess. And it's just really cool imagery and characters, like the monsters in it are just amazing. I love them. I love Calibus.
Calibus cracks me up because he doesn't need to be stop motion, but
but
Harryhausen designed him with like goat legs, so he had to be.
Calibus, the Calibus action figure doesn't have the tail.
Oh, really?
If I recall correctly. I feel like it was basically was kind of like a brown devil looking guy.
Yeah.
I don't remember it having the tail.
He scared me when I was a kid.
I love him. I love him.
Just crazy
design.
He was
my favorite character. And then when he gets the fork hand even more.
That's one of the things that scared me was when he stabs the bag and the blood comes out.
Yeah.
When that happened, I was like, holy shit, this is giving me like anxiety from being a kid and seeing this.
There were two, when I was a kid, there were two, this and, did you ever see this movie that's called Winds of Change?
No.
It's an animated movie. It's like,
I think so.
I think it was a Japanese animated movie, but obviously it was it was dubbed in English. It was also known as Metamorphosis. It's an animated movie. It's great. There's a lot of scary imagery in that too. And like those and Clash of Titans were essentially my first exposures to Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. And the and really, they came up with some really interesting ways that they did certain things. Like in Winds of Change, there was a Pegasus was made from like the blood of Medusa or something like that, of the Gorgons. Okay. And the Pegasus in the animated movie kind of has like a snake head. He's like a snake. He's like a horse, okay. But his face is like that of a snake. It's really cool imagery. Just kind of great idea. Anyways, that's just another thing that they both are just really. That's basically was my initial exposure to, you know, Greek myths that I recall.
Right.
My first note was, he was the seagull all along.
That, it's, I mean, I feel like there's some effects that Harryhausen obviously didn't do. That seagull effect wasn't one of them. Mm-hmm. Because it looked like a live action seagull sort of superimposed over a background.
Yeah.
And it only like, you're only able to see the shadows of it. It looked really weird. But I did like when the seagull landed and turned into that guy. And it's like, obviously like a transition between like three different shots. I'm like, man, if they could have just cut this sooner, it would look so cool. Like nowadays you'd have the seagull fly in, the guy land in the middle of walking towards the camera.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's like fly.
Yeah, he'd like land like Superman.
Stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the gods cracked me up because Zeus sits on a throne of lasers, which you know is just like a cool technology at the time. Like they saw it in Alien, and then they're like, "Oh, how do you do that?" And so it has a weird, almost like a cyberpunk look to it. It doesn't look ancient.
There's this kind of sense where like they wanted to find a way to compete with Star Wars in a way. Like,
oh yeah.
Get something that we can have merch and we can like kind of have heroes and all that kind of stuff for sure.
Right.
It's yeah. The whole gods thing was kind of interesting and they all just kind of stand around.
Yeah.
She's got to hold the owl the whole time. Ursula Andress just barely used.
Right.
She's just there to like, she has like maybe two lines in the whole thing.
Right.
And we just like, oh, she's Aphrodite. And we're like, oh yeah, of course. Okay. And that's kind of it.
Yeah. And then
Maggie Smith.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. She's really good.
I love the talking statues.
Yeah. It looks pretty good.
Like Haunted Mansion.
When the head collapses and it's laying in the town.
And then the eyes are closed and the eyes open. That's great. That's always so good.
How could they do that and not figure out the seagull? It doesn't make any sense, right?
So we get the first Kraken summoning at the very beginning, which is great because like, we're just going to show you. We have so good.
But he doesn't say release the Kraken.
What does he say?
He says something like, "Okay, get the Kraken," or it's like really like a mundane way of saying it.
And the shots of underwater Poseidon just like
He reminds me of Chalky from Cabin Boy.
Uh-huh.
He reminds me of that guy. Cuz it's obviously he's not underwater, he's dry and they're blowing a fan on him to make his hair move like it's underwater. But it looked just like that guy from Cabin Boy, the half man half shark, which I'm totally down with.
Oh, you don't think he was underwater? They didn't do a close-up of him underwater?
No, he wasn't underwater. There's no way. He was in front of like a screen or something. But there were Kraken shots underwater.
Yeah, well, he's got that lever and he lets the Kraken out. The Kraken's very well trained.
Yeah.
He comes right back in after he does his little like destroy the city. He goes right back into his cage.
But that footage where it's like not stop motion, it's like a it's like a full size puppet or something that's like underwater as it swims out the gate.
Yeah, like see the tail.
Really
yeah.
cool. I like that stuff. We'll get to the Kraken later, I think, too. because this, I mean, this movie, like I said, I don't really care much about the story, but it's all about the monsters.
It looked like that guy who was pulling on the donkey had running shorts on underneath his tunic. I was like, is he wearing shorts? I think, and he backed it up. And he's like, it looks like he's wearing shorts. Then later, there's like a fight with Perseus, and I'm running something down, and Beggy's like, he's not wearing shorts.
No, was that when he was drinking out of the river?
It was a fight. I think it was a fight when he was like struggling and falling because
there was a part where he's like drinking out of the river, and I'm pretty sure we probably, if we look close enough, could have saw his colon. It was.
Oh my god.
There was a lot of butt. His butt.
The composites weren't as great as I wanted them to be.
Right. You can tell like the people were like on a rear projection sort of thing. They had like a kind of a haze to them. Mm-hmm. And then like the monsters looked nice and crisp and clean.
Yeah. They definitely looked like they weren't on the same plane. Like they looked like they were like, they were in some no man's.
The first stop motion monster we get is the vulture.
Oh, the vulture was great.
I love the vulture.
And it was kind of like, I was like, were you like, is he dead? And then she does it again. You're like, what? What's going on? And I guess he just keeps calling her spirit over. Yeah. I liked also the transformation of Calibus through the shadow.
Oh, with the clay figure.
Yeah.
Where he has his hands up against the side of his head and then they just turn into the horns.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
I loved that. I loved it back then. I still love it now. I think it's so great.
Which they probably could have stop motioned the clay figure to transform, you know, using stop motion. But I like this version. I liked how that worked.
The way this worked. It kind of made it. So many stars in this. So we got Sir Laurence Olivier as Zeus, Burgess Meredith as that weird poet.
Yeah, he's essentially playing Mickey. You know, from Rocky.
Yeah.
Like he's sort of his sort of guide.
Right.
Perseus's guide. I don't know much about Harry Hamlin. I think I get him confused with Chris Sarandon.
Okay.
From Princess Bride.
Yeah, and Fright Night.
Yeah. I don't really know him in much anything else.
His big thing, I think, was like, one, a lawyer show, wasn't it?
Oh, I think it was like an LA Law.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That was.
There's, I
didn't watch that one.
When he goes to that city where the princess lives, basically.
Andromeda.
And that one guy is just like, what are you, the narrator? He just sat there telling this whole long thing, trying to explain everything that's going on in the city.
Yeah.
It was like, holy crap, this guy just keeps yapping at the mouth forever.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Andromeda sleeps real sexily.
I was a big fan of Andromeda.
The sexiest sleeping ever.
And bath and bathing.
That's later.
Stand bathing. Yeah,
I love invisibility and how it's like, you know, this invisibility, this makes you invisible when you put this helmet on, but then if I hand you a rope, it's just a floating rope.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought those effects were cool, like the rope being lassoed.
While he was invisible. Kind of grungy-esque.
Yeah, and then the footprints. The classic.
Yeah. You know what I always wonder? How come whenever there's something like a flying horse or a flying reindeer or anything, they're always running through the air?
I don't know, like, but it looks cool. I like how it looks.
You don't see birds running as they fly. It's like why?
What?
Why do they have to keep running? It just always felt like it's like, I don't. Why are they doing that?
I don't know what else.
Same thing. It's like in the Rudolph special. It's like they're running through the air. It's like, or E.T., they're riding their bikes. They're pedaling as they fly through the air.
I don't know. I think it looks cool as far as Pegasus goes. Okay. I think Pegasus looks really cool. It is
what
silly.
What if Pegasus had like extended his arms like Superman and flew that way?
That's a thing. I'm sure they tried every way to do it.
Like he needs to need more action. Maybe.
But I didn't see the remake.
Oh, you know, I didn't see it either.
So I'm wondering how they did Pegasus in that. Maybe longer strides? Maybe. I don't. Or even like Thor Ragnarok. Like that has some Pegasus in it.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'll check out the remake has also a sequel, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wrath of the Titans.
All right, so then he follows her vulture to the swamp place.
Yeah.
The swamp place is great. It's like decorated with like a bunch of Halloween skeletons everywhere.
Yep.
I love it. Also those weirdos that live with them. Like there's one guy that looks like super old and bony.
Yeah.
Like really crazy guys. And then we get the first scene with Calibus.
Right.
Which is great how they would cut between the guy, the close-ups of him, of the actor with like makeup applications to then like an animated, you know, Calibus.
I like the blue tunic.
I'm glad they animated him because I thought he was cool.
That's the thing is he looks awesome. The animations and stuff, he's really cool looking. But I just was like, man, they didn't have to.
Yeah, that area is like decorated with like bleached cow skulls. And you're like, it's a swamp? Where are these cows coming from?
I don't know. Fantasy world. Maybe the skeleton men rode cows into the swamp and they all died. Yeah, Calibus, love him. Creepy. He's got a cool like brown afro, like a reddish brown, like real frizzy hair.
Yeah.
It's just such a weird,
cool looking.
It's a weird.
Yeah. Like the chin and the cheekbones, and it's just kind of a cool guy. Yeah. It's just a cool monster. The hand, when after he cuts his hand off and brings the hand, it was cool.
He just hugged it on the floor.
Yeah, there's like, and then when like he's like he's gonna marry her, and she's like, oh, this guy, I think this guy visited me in my dreams, and he's like, hey, let's not talk about me sneaking into your room. Let's not talk about that. Let's just. He's like, don't worry about that part. Don't talk about that stuff.
Did he? So after that, he goes back. Is this when he goes to fight Medusa, but he takes that boat?
Well, what happens is, so then Thetis says that he can't have sex with her if he hooks up with her, because in 30 days she has to be sacrificed to the Kraken,
right?
And so he's like, okay, so I have to figure out how to defeat the Kraken. And they say the only way, you have to go and ask the witches how to defeat the Kraken.
Right.
And then, yeah, he gets his buddies, and they all go out, and they go to where the witches are.
Right.
And the witches share an eye, which is like this crystal.
They scared me when I was a kid.
Yeah, the witches was great. And I thought it was such a great ballsy move to just toss the eye. In my head, which is not even what happened, but in my head, he dropped it in the soup. The way I remembered it, he tossed it and it landed in the soup. Also, what's great is the hand coming out of the soup when the witches arrive. They're like, oh, this guy's great. This guy looks delicious.
Put
that hand back in the soup.
Are you getting like Temple of Doom mixed in there maybe? Don't they like put the spoon in the soup and the eyeball pops up like Willie Scott?
Well, there's a hand in this soup.
Yeah.
And they push the hand down. No, I meant like, after he takes the eye away, and they need their eye because they have one eye amongst three of them. Mm-hmm. And he says, okay, tell me how to do this. And they finally tell him, he says, okay, here you go. And he tosses it, and it's just like, they would hear like bloop, and it would be, oh shit, now we got to fish through the soup to find our eye.
Yeah.
But that's not how he just threw it. He, he threw it close enough to them that they they'd eventually find it.
Right.
He's not awful.
It's like mice or something hanging out near it. Is this when they get on that boat with the Grim Reaper looking boatman?
Oh yeah, so that's when they're going out to Medusa, right?
Yeah, that thing was awesome.
Right, the Grim Reaper puppet, so great. Like the hand coming out, being like, "All right, let's go pay me."
So
and
cool.
He has the coins for it. So cool. And he also kind of like did that like three-quarter turn at the end when like they look at him. He kind of like looks slightly.
The dog.
The two-headed dog.
Also scared me when I was a kid.
I forgot about that dog.
Yeah, he was cool looking. Like, you don't really see a lot of stop-motion fur because it's hard to like sort of wrangle, you know. When you're trying to manipulate it with your hands and you move the fur around all over the place, but it looked pretty good. It was a nice fluffy dog. It was a cool sequence. And I think that's it before we get to Medusa, right?
Yeah, then we come in and see Medusa now.
Okay.
The concept of Medusa up until this point in my life was she was a woman and she had snakes as hair,
right. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they made her basically a body of a snake, a rattlesnake no less, was amazing.
And
blew my mind.
This is my favorite Harryhausen design
of all time. Mine too.
Yeah. But I remember this differently as well. Because he has the mirror on the back of his shield.
Inside.
Right. And the way I remember it is he used the mirror to turn her into stone.
Oh, no.
But no, he doesn't.
No, he makes her think he's
standing somewhere else.
Somewhere else, yeah.
But I think maybe what happened was, after he cuts her head off, her head's gray, right? It's her face is like kind of a grayish color.
It was greenish, isn't it?
Well, when she's Medusa, but like later on.
Oh, when he pulls the head out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a feeling I hid my eyes and thought that he turned her to stone.
Hmm. Okay.
And then cut her head off. I don't know, but the music, the sound design,
but
the animation was all awesome.
Now you knew that, but you knew that he could see her in the reflection as well.
Yes.
So somehow the reflection would protect him from turning to stone, but not Medusa herself.
I think I was like seven or eight. I don't know, but I was always under the impression that she looked at her own reflection and turned to stone and then cut off her head.
Alright.
But obviously that's not the case because he cuts her head off and probably some of the grossest blood I've ever seen on screen.
It's thick.
It's thick and goopy and chunky.
Yeah.
And it's so gross. That's another thing that probably scared me when I was a kid. Because both that blood and the blood when Calibus stabs the sack, it's like the same sort of weird, pussy, thick, gross.
You know, I didn't get that the sack was the cape. He wrapped her up in the cape because, like, the witches said that the cape could handle the blood because the blood was, like, acidic or something.
I noticed the thing that holds his little buckle that holds his cape on.
Yeah.
That was on the bag to close it.
But yeah. I didn't. Yeah.
But his cape was white.
Well, they mentioned a red cape to him. I don't know exactly. I'm not sure where the red cape came from, but they did say that the red cape could handle the blood. The witches say that to him.
Yeah.
And so then that's what that is. Yeah.
But yeah, he definitely has.
Oh, it's during the scorpion fight. I have it written down. During the scorpion fight that Becky said that he wasn't wearing shorts.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that stabbing with that fork hand and the blood turning into scorpions. That is such a great thing. That happens. It's one of the most memorable moments of this movie for me. Right.
Yeah, it's so gross too.
There are a lot of cool. Did you have any of the toys of this movie?
No,
I didn't either. Because it was kind of like, I think it felt like when parents were like, no, Star Wars is your thing. You're going to stick with the Star Wars things.
Yeah. I think that watching this movie this time, I definitely didn't care for Bubo as much as when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, Bubo was everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah, Bubo, the R2-D2 of Clash
exactly.
Of
but I don't hate it.
I did like the how she's like, kind of. He's like, hey, why don't you give him your owl? And she's like, fuck no, I'm not gonna give him my owl.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna have Hephaestus make an owl, like a robot owl. And he's wacky.
I still like the design. I do know that there is a nod to this Bubo in the remake. Because like when that remake came out, that's the first thing I looked up. Like if you type in like is Bubo into Google, it'll automatically fill the blank of in the new remake. So people were wondering.
Is Bubo is Bubo a Trump supporter? Is Bubo a
Bubo's feet? The feet come up. Watching it this time with adult cynical eyes, I'm like, oh my gosh, Bubo is a reason to make money off toys.
Yeah,
I still like the design though.
The
eyes are a little bit.
I don't know if he was designed exactly for toys any more than anything else. That the plan of the movie was done for toys.
But this was for it obviously worked when I was a kid.
It was definitely fan service for children, for
right.
sure.
Right. Scorpion fights all right.
Yeah, I liked
it. It was cool. Like the cutting off of the limbs and stuff. That's always fun. Yeah. That was like classic Harryhausen.
Yeah.
And then, is that it? The Kraken's the last thing, huh?
Yeah, basically. He turns the Kraken to stone.
The Kraken is awesome. One thing I noticed, because
the Kraken toy was awesome. That's the thing I wanted so bad. Like, you know, just seeing it, it's like, man, he's so big and he's such a great monster.
What's funny is like, I guess so. Like since then, like I've learned that a Kraken is like an octopus, and not like a Godzilla type of monster.
Yeah.
But what's funny is watching it this time around, I noticed that the arms were kind of tentacle-like. I always pictured him as muscles, but if you look at sometimes when he grabs the rock, it's more of a tentacle shape with hands on the end of it. So it does kind of have sort of a noodle shape to it. And I thought that was kind of cool.
If you took like the written description of what a Kraken looked like, that you could come up with the same thing. Because, like, you know, the same way, because his, like, a squid has, like, a beak, and it kind of had a beak, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, if it was, like, based on, you know, remains of giant squid or something, you know, it could have, in a way, you could have come away and created the Kraken design out of nothing if you were just, like, using text and stuff, I think, maybe.
Yeah,
but I like it. It's a very signature monster for you know, the Harryhausen.
Yeah, it looks similar to the 20 million miles to Earth monster.
Yeah, it looks very much. Yeah, yeah.
But it's, I mean, I love that monster, and yeah. I love this one. I mean, it is really cool. I like the climax between the Kraken, Perseus, Bubo, and Pegasus.
Yeah,
I think it's all done really cool. The way Pegasus goes down and they lose the Medusa head and Bubo picks it up and brings it over and gets SWAT and goes down the cliff. But it's like it all worked for me. And the shot of Perseus holding the Medusa head and the eyes glowing green.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look like you can see the special effects now.
Yeah, because it's the same how when she turned the other soldiers to stone, too, the way they did that green in the eyes was just great.
Yeah. And then the giant Kraken turns into a statue and then collapses under its own weight. Looked awesome. Like, it's crazy that this is, I mean, it's post-Star Wars. It's post-Empire. And this is Ray Harryhausen's final movie. And I think it's a good one.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, he's showcasing everything.
Yeah.
Humanoids, horses, birds, giant monsters. Like, it's like...
Whatever a Calibus is.
Yeah, snaky Medusas and the only thing he didn't have is like walking skeletons. But it was like the greatest hits of stuff. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. The only thing he didn't have was skeleton soldiers. That was the only thing you would need.
Like, of every Harryhausen movie, this has like my top three favorite designs in it, which is Medusa, the Kraken, and Calibus. Like, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't really care about the story that much, but I want to see all these things. Like, I just love just watching them. I'm glad I watched it again. It's been so long, and it definitely brought back memories.
Yeah,
it's a little slow paced.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. It's definitely felt. It needed some pacing in the in our 2020 brain.
If you need like a nap on the weekend or something, like, you put this on. But just based on the effects, this movie's awesome.
Yeah,
and the action's all really good. Not something I'd put on my top five because I don't. Think of it as a kaiju movie, but there's
a
ton of them. I mean, there's a bunch of monsters.
Sure.
But I'm glad we watched it.
I loved it.
Yeah. Our next episode, I've never seen before.
Me either.
And I'm excited. There's a big blind spot on this show, and that's Ultraman. So we had a suggestion to watch a movie called Ultraman the Next. It's, I believe, 2004.
Cool.
And hopefully, I think we know enough about Ultraman to be able to watch this movie without any explanation, I think.
Right. He puts his hand that way.
Yeah.
And he turns gets into big. Right.
Science Patrol. So looking forward to that. There's only three more episodes left. It's going to be a roller coaster these next three episodes.
My gosh.
That Final Wars it's coming. It's coming fast. So I'm looking forward to that. I want to see if there's enough sort of anti-hype.
Okay. Yeah, you know? Right.
Yeah. Next episode's going to be Ultraman the Next. You could find that on kaijupod.com along with our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And until next time, I'm just going to hold on to this towel and wait for Andromeda to come out of the bath.
I'm going to take a ride in the giant vulture cage.
Oh, can you? Okay. So, like, I don't know. I was like, remember that one Mothra episode where Mothra was holding a cage with, like, the kids inside it and they're all waving goodbye? Like... That'd be kind of fun.
Right.
Being in the vulture cage and the Mothra cage, like, side by side in a little race. I don't know.
Just, man, just riding that cage. It's got, like, one little chair in there to sit on. And it's like, whoa. Because you see everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You trust that vulture, though? Holding on? Okay.
I do.
All right.
He waits for you to get in. He's a very good Uber.
Then you get dropped off at Calabasas, though. That's probably not fun.
Well, that's where you got to go. But, you know, yeah. It's got cool decorations.
It's bleached bowl skulls.
It's all very Halloween-y.
It's decorating.